Welcome to the Coach LaLisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am LaLisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach LaLisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/LaLisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach LaLisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show this morning. It is, I tell you, I am so, so excited. This is the Coach LaLisa Show, and Wednesday mornings is the day that we co-host the show with the Wednesday midweek motivator, Mr. Versi L. Walker, who is on the line. Oh, Mr. Walker, thank you so much for just being committed to this show. There are people who I know who are tuned in because they want to hear from you.
Thank you so much.
They do. They have told me that. I was last night, we were actually at a women's Bible study class, and there was a woman who came over to me and said, you know, I've been listening. I caught your show a couple times. And, you know, I said, oh, really? And I had just recently met her, but I had shared with a couple of the ladies there about the radio show. Well, she was the one who had tuned in, and I said, well, which days did you listen? And she kind of told me, and I said, well, you got to listen tomorrow because we're going to have, and Minister Patricia Martin was also with me, and she was co-signing. Oh, yes, you do not want to miss Wednesday's with Mr. Versi Walker. So I just wanted you to know that the phone lines are filling up, the show. You know, Mr. Walker, it is. I'm so glad to be back with you. I missed yesterday. I was doing CPR class. Monday, that show was a mess. And so, you know what? But we're going to keep pushing forward. And I tell you, it's nothing like having faithful people who, despite everything that can go wrong, that they will absolutely still show up. So I want to just thank everybody for tuning back in. Mr. Jay Early, I know some of you probably were wondering, well, what is going on? What happened on Monday and then Tuesday? Maybe you tried to turn in. There was no show. But we were suffering some little difficulties here and there. But guess what? We're here today. And, Mr. Walker, I'm telling you, we're going to let you just flow in just a moment, but how's your day going today?
You know what? So far, so good. And I think, you know, just what you're saying, it's probably just a testament to the true statement that it works if you work it. If you continue to push forward, continue to put good things in, and, you know, good things will only come out of it. And, you know, we have those hiccups and we have those moments, but we just got to keep forging forward. And I think your show allows not only, you know, me, but also the listeners to do that and feel that same thing on a regular basis. So I'm committed. So as I told you before, I put in the time, the investment, and I'm committed. I believe that I'm worthy of it, I'm worth it, and I'm a valuable asset. And I think those listeners appreciate it because I definitely appreciate them.
Oh, I tell you, you are valuable, and you are valuable, you that you're tuned in, you're listening, those that are in the chat room, you are valuable. And again, to the coaches that are in the chat room who show up on a continual basis to support, to encourage, to also share their knowledge and their wisdom. You know, it's like the Reverend was saying last night, Reverend Anita Basia. She was saying something so powerful. She says when she started this group that she was doing on Tuesday nights here in Newark, she said that God gave her, he told her basically, I've given you so much. You have so much down on the inside of you. You cannot keep it to yourself.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Can't. And so, you know, people like Coach K and Angel and, you know, Coach J and yourself, you have all of this. And you just can't, you know, it's almost as if you're driven to be anywhere where there's an opportunity to share.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
And to help. And I know, Mr. Walker, you were saying how possibly you would be able to also go down to Philadelphia and on the 21st of September. So I shared that with Mr. Rodney Watson, who is the CEO of that entrepreneur group, and he said, great, bring them. I can't wait to meet them. You know, people are looking for, you know, information, and I know you, I think you're always saying that, it's, you know, it's not enough to just have information, that you also need to have, what is it, transformation.
Correct, correct. And people don't realize, you know, the libraries are full of information. It's not structured. But once you have that information and it's structured, then from that information, your life can be transformed from whatever it is. You know, if you go back and look at history and you pick up some nuggets and some tidbits from that or current things, and you'll realize many of the books, many of the information that's available to you, once your consciousness is open, it will envelop and engulf into something much larger than you've ever imagined. So it's just not, you know, knowledge is not just information, it's transformation.
And, you know, and the beautiful thing that I love about what you're saying is that, but in order to have a real transformation, you need information.
You need information, and you got to go get it. You have to be a part of it. There is no greater energy than being around positive people who are doing positive things. And it helps elevate you, even though, I mean, you could be there and you could be a naysayer, you could be a disbeliever, but when you're in that group, you're in that room with, you know, 3 to 5 or 10 people who are doing things, who are talking about positive things, all of a sudden your core, your spirit just transforms, and you start saying, you know what, I think I can do that. You know what, I no longer just want to be, you know, an innocent bystander who are witnessing or looking at life happen. I want to be a willing participant and make life happen.
Yeah, and you know what? And we are driven, we are committed to work, to getting up each and every morning, no matter what it takes, because you're committed. Every time, every morning that I come to this show and I see that people are actually on the line, dialed in, people, I know people are listening to the archives, people have shared that, a shout out to those who listen by archive. Some people are able to download this through various feeds and what have you and listen to the show, and those are in the chat room. So, you know, we know that people are interested, and like you said last, on the other week we were on, Mr. Walker, about people want to make an investment into themselves. Personal development, I told someone about a month ago that personal empowerment is in the workplace is becoming the new black. If you don't know how to empower yourself, if you don't know how to get up and get going and transform your life from whatever it was, you may have had setbacks, you may have had, you know, dramatic trauma, you may have had chaos in your life, but if you don't know how to turn your own self around, you know, people are so busy, it's going to be hard to get that help. So you have to learn how to do it for yourself. Gone are the days where you can just sit back and hope that somebody's going to come along and put you in the pool, okay? You got to get in that pool.
That is the truth. And, you know, and people, they're, like you said, they're so busy now, is that they only want to see someone who's in motion already. And even though you may be going the wrong direction, but at least if you're busy about your business, those things and those people, as I keep saying, the universe would then avail those people to you, and those resources would now become available. And it's, again, I go back to it works if you work it. I go back to last week when I commented on what you, Coach Jay, and Coach Kay said, that these principles, these universal laws, this happiness, this success that we all can have is not just exclusive to the believers. Even the non-believers, if they apply the right concept, if they say the right words, if they believe emphatically that they are deserving of whatever they're desiring, then those things will come too. They will come true, and it will show up in visible manifestation in their lives, in their world, and in their affairs. But not too many people believe that. They want a quick fix. They want the 2 o'clock in the morning infomercials. You buy it for $19.95. They're going to throw another, you know, supplement in there as well, and then in 30 days, you're going to be transformed. You know, I realized a long time ago that when I was overweight, that there was no pill that was going to do anything for me in 30 days that I hadn't did in 10 years. If I didn't get off the couch, if I didn't exercise, if I didn't change my thought pattern, my mentality, and my belief system, there was nothing a 30-day pill could do, because it took 10 years or more to get to where I was at, so it wasn't going to be 30 days because I had to change a lifestyle. I had to change a habit, a belief system. I had to regain faith that I could accomplish whatever my desires were. So it was ridiculous, and we have to get back to believing ridiculously. But we have to have a ridiculous faith on something on a higher level, a greater plane, to be something more than we are today so we can have a better tomorrow.
And, you know, it's so true what you're saying. And there's that other piece that says that faith without works is absolutely dead. And anything dead ain't going nowhere. When you're dead, stuck. But when you put some work with your faith, you will see a tremendous breakthrough. I know there are so many people on all levels, including myself, waiting for various breakthroughs. It could be a financial breakthrough. It could be like what you had in the past, a breakthrough with your weight loss. It could be an educational breakthrough. Maybe you need to pass some tests to get into a particular field or school that you want, but there will be no breakthrough without some hard work. You put that work forward, you put that work into it, it's just like going to the gym. You got to put in the work first. It's like exercising. People who go to the doctor who have health problems, the doctor just simply looks at what they've done. If the doctor sees that you're not changing your eating habits, you're not changing your rest habits, you're not changing your this and this and that, they're just going to give you more medicine because they know that you're not willing to change.
All right.
And they know that whatever they give you, you're not going to use it and it's not going to work. So the working, I was watching 106 in Park yesterday, and they were interviewing Bow Wow and this young girl, Naturi or something, for the new movie they have coming out, Lottery Ticket. Now, I'm not typically into that kind of stuff. I don't even watch 106 in Park. What is that? But I was led to it. Because why? Here this young girl, I don't even know her, but I think she was in a couple movies. She's right here from East Orange, New Jersey, because she gave a big shout-out to East Orange. And she said something that I felt was just so profound. When they asked her about her life and her success or what have you and being able to star with Bow Wow and being in one of Cube's, they said Cube, but I think they were talking about Ice Cube, his movie.
Correct.
She said, "Well, I've been on my grind." I said to myself, "You're not old enough to have been on the grind that long." But the thing is, but she was made it very clear. She was so articulate. She said since she was a teenager. Now, I suspect now she's about 23-ish or something. But even starting out as a teenager, that's to give you 7 or 8 years. So she was letting the people know that she has been working hard to get to where she got. In other words, she was like saying, "But did nobody give me this?"
Correct.
I didn't wake up one day and I end up starring in a movie, you know, on big screen. She was letting people know that it was nothing but hard work. Don't get it twisted. And I thought it was huge. So I went on Facebook and typed in what I felt was hope is encouragement to someone. I put to my young people, I said, work hard and play right. And I kind of took that from Continental Airlines for years, used a slogan called work hard, fly right. And they were saying that to encourage your employees that, yes, you get to fly all over the world literally free and play in some of the finest, wonderfulest places all over the world, but you've got to work hard to keep the airline up so that we can continue to provide this benefit for you. So anyway, with that being said, I just thank you, Coach K, said great testimony. But I also felt that it was good for me to say something to young people, because a lot of times, you know, we think we don't have something to say to them because we're older.
And,
you know?
And they feel that there's a big disconnect because they feel we don't understand. You know, I think people have to realize, and especially the youth of today, that there is nothing new under the sun. The name has been changed a little bit. Maybe the direction has been changed a little bit, but the game is still the same. And if we can, share something. Yeah.
Sure.
Correct.
Well, the word tells us. He said, older women teach the younger.
Mm-hmm.
So we are right in the older men teach the younger. So, you see, only because the world would have us to think we don't, you know, there's a disconnect and young people know. But the word of God is that we are to connect with young people. So anyway, I'm going to get out your way, and I'll be back with some announcements later. I want to introduce to some, and just for others, you already been on and they know who you are, but some people it's their first time tuning into the show. So this is Mr. Versi Walker, and he's going to be sharing some good news with you, good news, and he is the author of Success, How I Ended Up Here, awesome book, and he'll give you information that he wants you to have about that as he so desires. But I'm going to turn it over to you and can't wait to hear what your topic is this week. Mr. Walker, take it away.
You know what? Thank you so much, Coach Lalisa, and good morning to everyone who's listening. I hope everyone is having a great week. As always, I'm excited and glad to be here for the Wednesday morning midweek inspiration. I got chastised, I think, yesterday because last week's show was moved to Thursday, but that was just for the moment. We're still back on Wednesday morning. This is our committed time. As many of you may now know, that we've gone from just a half an hour slot to an hour slot. So, again, I'm happy to be here. I'm glad that the listeners are tuning in, dialing in, and feeling what we're trying to convey and provide as that energy, as that mechanism, as that tool to help us get over the hump day, to get over those obstacles and those hurdles that may be in our lives. And sometimes it's us that's standing in our own way and we don't even know it. So I also want to thank not just the listeners, but as usual, I want to thank you, Coach Lalisa, for allowing me to share, you know, the information to take part in your show and, you know, be able to provide another platform or an opportunity to convey not only your message but my message as well. And the biggest thing and the reason we do this is just to empower, because when we feel like we have no hope, when we're feeling helpless, things will never go right. There's a disconnect. There's unsettling in the spirit and in the mind, and there's disease. And when it happens, and that only happens in the home, it happens in the workplace. Right now, a lot of people are kind of like zombies, maybe like the Walking Dead. We've been so beat down. We've been so disenfranchised. We feel that we have nothing to add. There is no value and there's no worth. And we're becoming so toxic. We're doing so many harmful things to not only ourselves, to those around us. And many of us are just walking time bombs. And without programs and shows and opportunities like this, to realize that, you know what, you're not the only one who's standing in the need of prayer. You're not the only one who's standing in the midst and don't know if there's hyenas and tigers and bears around you as you're looking for a friend to lean on to help lift you up. And as I said before, there have been so many people standing in the gap for me. I had a Bible-toting, scripture-quoting, ever-staying and always-praying grandmother, who for me had a touch that was, for whatever reason, miraculous. It was a miracle. She was a healer to me. And because of that woman and others who stood in the gap for me and prayed for me when I didn't have common sense to pray for myself, I'm here today as a living testament, as the example for those young as well as old, that, you know what, If you get your mind right, what you think about, you can bring about into your world, into your affairs, and you can change so many different things. And it's ironic that we started the conversation off talking about belief and faith, excuse me, because that was my subject matter for today. Usually my topics come to me throughout the week, and I build on that to what I want to share with the audience. This particular topic today, it didn't come as quickly or as easy, but it was in me, but it didn't come as easy. So I'm looking for that inspiration. I'm looking for that motivation, something I want to share and provide to the audience. So my topic today is on the subject of belief, also the subject of faith, and considering one's true desires. The one thing that you want far greater than anything else in the world. The person that you want to see in the mirror that looks back at you. Who would you like that to be? So that's my subject matter for today. And again, we touched on it today at the top of the hour. So I'm going to go ahead and expound on it. Because as you know, each week when I speak to people, I'm trying to leave them a takeaway. Provide them something that they can hold on to and consider and think how they can change their life, how they can transform and see those opportunities that can make their life 200% better. And so I'm looking again to find other ways to help people make it through their day as they're pondering on life's decisions and how these choices will come down and what the results will be. Because oftentimes we don't know. We just make a decision and haven't contemplated the results. Because in life there is a cause and effect. And so we're just looking at the cause. We're just being responsive. We're just being reactive. So I'm looking for those things, those nuggets that can, again, help people go far beyond their current position. And I'm optimistic about it, and I'm committed to helping those find them and also to find them within myself because I'm still a work in progress. I'm not a master. I'm a mastering student. I show up every day with pen and paper, got my ruler and my calculator, and I want the teacher to show up and show me and present to me what I need to do in life to better myself and those, you know, those around me. And I know for many years, at least for myself, and I'm presuming for most on the call, we've always been told just to have faith. There was also in the 70s, keep up the faith. And we've also been told to follow your heart's desires. It took me years to even recognize what that was, what that meant. What was my heart desire? My thoughts were all over the place. The things I wanted to do and become and be were all over the place. And I didn't realize I had been pretty much living the pattern of what I wanted to be all my life. It was sales and it was talking to people. I had been doing that since, you know, 3 years old. But I didn't realize that because I was looking for the money, notoriety, or the status. So I had already been doing those things. There's so many people on this call today, they have been nurses since they played in grammar school. They played as a nurse or a doctor. There's so many people on here who are technicians because they've been tinkering with toys and items and objects all of their life. But they're getting on and putting on their backpack and they're going to work for that bus company or going to work at Best Buy as a cashier when they should maybe be behind the desk working on those computers to help people like me who are not proficient, learn that item. But we're so far looking in the wrong direction and not looking within. So I want to ask you, how does someone do these things that I'm talking about when night after night, as a little girl, someone came into her room and stripped her of her innocence? Or as a small child, the boy was told that he's lucky that he wasn't put in a dumpster years ago. As a matter of fact, he should have been. How do we tell people that you can better yourself and become better individuals just simply by having faith? Or even to discover one's heart's desires when many times they're struggling to even trust anymore. To even trust those around them or even feel that they're worthy of trusting themselves to make the right decision. Because they're blaming themselves for activities that happened 5, 10, 15 years ago that they had no part in, that they were involuntarily placed in those compromising positions by those that they trusted. So these people are still struggling today, wondering, are those individuals around them there to bring them harm, to take advantage of them, or to ultimately disappoint them. So they're going by with this brick wall that is impenetrable, pretending that they're happy, that they're finding love, when they don't even love what they see in the mirror anymore. And if I can help those individuals find that day, that moment, that time, that that love of self was taken away, it's like stripping back an onion. Each layer will bring another disappointment, another layer of hurt. But if we can keep stripping back and work through those tears, work through those pains, work through those hurts, our society and our community will start to heal from the inside out. We won't be trying to use a Band-Aid to cover bullet wounds. And again, people have said it years ago, and these are old adages and stereotypes, and I want to dismiss them, that sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never hurt you. That is incorrect. Sticks and stones will break your bones. Oftentimes, they heal twice as strong. But those words that are not harmonious, that are not uplifting, that are not empowering, they destroy. They destroy the very fabric of this community, of this society. They destroy those individuals. We smile through it. We walk through it. We pretend that it didn't affect us, but it does, because that resonates over and over again in your mind. See, once you get that bone broke after a period of time, you forget which arm it was. You remember that the activity happened. You're reenacting in your mind, but it's of no consequence. But that parent, that loved one, that teacher, that other student, that love mate, that significant other, those words that they say, they resonate, and they stay with you over and over again. And so it's so much harder for people to even trust, believe, and have faith. Now, how do I reach that person? How do I give them the authority to love and live their life again? I speak about this a lot in my book, Success, How I Ended Up Here. And I truly wish our listeners would grab those copies, get their pen, their paper, get into a quiet space, get a highlighter, and highlight the information that's there. I titled it so perfectly, and I'm letting people know that this is a resource. This is a manual. It is not the blueprint, but it's definitely a guide to get you to a better place, personally and professionally. And once you're there, again, everyone sees your glow. You would emanate. And people will want to be around you. You'll want to be around yourself. So, again, I do recommend doing this. But in the book, I talk about dreams, desires, faith, and belief. And I start the book off talking about that, because that is the very foundation that will have you rise farther than anything, and you'll go to the stratosphere. Just believe me. Just believe me. So when I talk about that, I'm saying that we have to have the faith and the belief and the dreams and desires that are so strong that they pull you out of the bed, that you can't sit still. You have a burning desire inside of you to go out and just be whatever it is that you want to be. Now, oftentimes, we must have faith in other people's belief in us and our vision until we develop the courage to believe in ourselves. I want to repeat that. We have to have faith sometimes in other people's belief in us and our vision until we develop the courage to believe in ourselves. See, I get it. I'm just like many of you on this line today. I've had those challenges and those struggles, and I'm still facing them today. I'm making decisions that I didn't think I was going to have to make at my young, tender age of, I'll move on. But I'm making those decisions now that I thought I was, you know, going to be far beyond this. But it's coming face to face. The rubber's meeting the road today in my life and in most of yours as well. And I've had various situations where, again, I had to have or believe in someone else's belief or faith in me and my vision until I developed the courage. Because sometimes it's not easy. It's not easy to trust. It's not easy to believe of your talents and your skills could motivate, inspire, encourage others. How many singers have not made it to the level of Alicia Keys or Luther Vandross because they didn't believe in themselves? That small, still voice inside of them told them that those people who think that they can sing have to be crazy and have to be ridiculous. And I go back again, we have to have that ridiculous faith in a ridiculous God and this great universe that everything we wish for and want for is ours to have. Now, I remember as a freshman in high school, there was this young lady who I was fond of. I was a freshman and she was a junior. And every chance I got to stare at this young lady, I took it. So much so that one day she saw me, and I was probably looking silly and goofy just standing there in the middle of the hallway staring at her. She called me over, and I was very nervous, and she asked me, "What's your name?" And I told her, "Versi." She said, "Percy?" I said, no, Versi." She said, "Oh, Blursy?" I said, "No, Versi." And probably each time I said that, my voice got lower and lower because I was intimidated. I said, "You know what, it doesn't matter what you call me, just as long as you call me." She looked me dead in my eye and said, "No, that's not right. It does matter, and so do you." She said, "Please tell me your name again." And so I did. And at that time, she got my name right. She said, "What a unique name for a unique individual." I had never been called unique. I've been called a lot of things, but unique wasn't one of them. She said, "You should be proud of your name and make sure that everyone pronounces it correctly." That was a defining moment in my life. See, prior to that moment, I didn't care for my name. It was difficult for me to, I guess, enunciate, and it was definitely difficult for people to pronounce, especially in the day and the time of the Johns, Davids, and Michaels, because those are the prevalent names, and some of those guys appeared to be cool and everybody liked them. I wasn't that person. But because of her and what she said on that very day, Coach, I began to take pride in myself and my name and take stock in me. I began pronouncing my name loudly and correctly and made sure that everyone who said my name knew it and said it correctly. She changed my life. She turned me around from someone who was looking from without, and I started looking within. And I saw the beauty in me and in my name that I had never saw before. I probably didn't like the name also because it was given to me by my father, who was no longer in my life, who didn't care to be in my life. So I didn't have anything to hold on to that name for. Why? But because of that day and in that moment, she proved me wrong. And I'm glad and I'm thankful that she did. I'm glad that I stared at her to the point where she decided to, and she was, you know, kind enough because, you know, in high school, I could have been a mockery. She could have took that opportunity to become negative, but she didn't, and I appreciated that. And that's the same thing that you do each and every day, Coach. That's what I try to do, to speak to people either with my soft eyes or with my voice to let them know that life is okay. That this thing that they're going through, that they're in, that they're suffering through, is just temporary. Because the only thing permanent in life is death. But as long as you're 6 feet above ground, you're 60 feet closer to where you want to be. Now, these things have happened to me on several different occasions, personally as well as professionally. But again, I had faith in someone else's belief in me. And fortunately, it has been positive. And has had a positive, profound effect on my life. There's an old skit that I remember. Anybody on the call who knows Sinbad the comedian, he had an old skit where he would talk about Jesse Jackson. And this was during the day where Jesse was very relevant and was always in the media. And everything that Jesse said in his motivating, inspiring feat, he said as a rhythmic rhyme. And so Sinbad would be on the stage, and he would say, "You know what, Jesse's always motivating. He's always, you know, encouraging people. He can go to a midget and say, 'You're a midget,' and the midget would repeat it, 'Yes, I am.' He'd say, 'But you can be tall as this wall and play some basketball.'" And he said he would say it so profoundly that this midget would walk away thinking that he can be the next basketball player. He can really, you know, to make this thing happen. Well, that's the factor of motivating. You can encourage people to believe what you want them to believe and believe in themselves in different ways and in different levels. Now, physically, this midget perhaps cannot overcome his height, his arm span, and the length of his fingers to become a dynamic basketball player. But what that type of encouragement can do is enable him to lace up his shoes and no longer have the fear to go on the court. He may then lace up his shoes in life and overcome those obstacles, those hidden hurts, those feelings of inadequacy, those insecurities, to then become a viable individual in this society, so whereby his size no longer matters. I used to tell a friend of mine who always complained about her feet hurting. I said, talk to the guy who has no legs. The same guy who gets up every morning and wheels himself down to the train, catches the train downtown, walks into this big, elaborate building, and then 10 minutes later, someone says, all rise, the judge is now entering the courtroom. He didn't let the limitations of his legs prevent their vision in his mind. He continued on. He didn't complain about his inability to walk freely, which maybe if he had his legs, his vision wouldn't have been as large to become a judge. The nurse who didn't have that setback and got fired from her other job, which she didn't enjoy, may not have went back to school to become a nurse today. But having that faith and a belief system that is stronger than anybody else and anyone else that you think about can really have you as tall as that wall and playing you some basketball. You just have to trust and believe. Now, for everybody who's listening, do me a favor. Close your eyes and picture what it would be or look like if you took your game and your life to the next level. Now, open your eyes. Are you there yet? And if not, why not? Could it be that you're the problem, that you're the debilitating factor in your life to why you don't want to go where you want to go? In the days in which I was out there calling myself a young player, trying to date and get the attention of young ladies, I would oftentimes walk up and I would compliment them. But my compliments, Coach, was never on the obvious. It was never on something that just stood out or that they were displaying willingly. But if I found something that struck me as unique, their eyes, their hand, how they spoke to someone, I would, you know, mention that. And the first moment I did that, their insecurities would rise up and dissolve my compliment. It would rise up and erase everything I just said because they didn't believe that I would, you know, say that if somebody found that to be a special quality when they had these other attributes that obviously everybody, you know, liked. I don't look at a Mercedes because it has the Mercedes emblem. I look at all the amenities and how those amenities benefit me. Because everything else is just features. And the features will come and go, and they will perhaps wear out. But how does that individual, that car, that lifestyle, that job, that career, how does it benefit me? And if I believe in it and I have faith in it, you're going to hear the conviction in my voice. You're going to see me pursue that in no other manner probably known to man because I become aggressive. So, again, if you have envisioned something for yourself and you're not doing it and you're not it, then if not, why not? And if the blame lies on you, great. And if it doesn't, find a way to work around it. Have the faith and a belief system that would allow you to begin living the life you envisioned for yourself, not what others have told you, and not that self-contained prison that we've created for ourselves and our belief system that we're not valuable unless we have this item or unless we're part of this organization and this group and hang with those people. That is a ridiculous belief system. And what happens that when we close our eyes and dream of us being somebody else or somewhere else, sometimes the dream is so large and so astronomical that we can't even believe ourselves doing that. But when I close my eyes and I vision myself on my boat and my kids in that swimming pool and me having money in the bank account and that family member calling who needs money, help, or assistance, me going to a $500 plate gala to help support cancer or sickle cell, that's a vision I see, and it ain't too big for me. In fact, I need to have a bigger dream, because as I dream bigger and my belief system increases, I can then acquire those things because I believe them to existence. I'm sorry, Coach? Oh, okay, I thought you said you were going to say something. So we have to, again, find belief and have faith. There was a situation when I was a financial advisor. Actually, I was an insurance agent, and I was approached by two managers of a bank who were developing the investment division of that bank to provide alternative products and services to their bank customers. They approached me in such a manner and told me that they believed I would be ideal to help bring this idea to fruition. I didn't have the faith. I couldn't believe that they saw something in me when we had 27 other students that they could have approached with this idea. I hadn't even fathomed or thought or dreamed or believed on that level, because I didn't even know that I could have been a financial advisor or a stockbroker and also work at a bank. But I did my research. I started studying the industry, and it started making sense. If you're a young person and your parents take you in to get your savings account, as you get older, you get your checking account, you go back to get that first student loan or that car loan, then ultimately you now buy your home. Where do those resources come from? It comes from that bank. And then there's a relationship. And if it's obvious, if you trust that that bank will provide you those resources and you're saving your money and you want to become wealthy in the future, why wouldn't you make investments? And why go outside of your relationship? So I began at that point in time to change my thought pattern, start having faith again in their belief in me, and then began gaining the courage to move forward. And my life has been, again, transformed because of the information that I started to gather, because of the confirmation from what those individuals said to me. Well, if they see something, why am I not seeing it? If they think I'm special, that's half the entertainers out there. That's half the dignitaries. If they think I'm a king, I'm a king. If they think I'm a leader, I must be a leader. It's those who cower out that allow life to beat them up forever.
Go ahead.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Go right ahead.
You've just reminded me of the business concept, or maybe a psychological concept, about the Johari window, that there's actually a psychological term for when we can see parts of us that no one can, and think of a window with four window panes. So there's that one window pane where it's stuff about yourself that you can see that nobody else can see.
Right.
Then there's that part of you that others can see, that you can see. Then there's that part of you that you can see and others can see. But then there's that part of you that others can see, but you can't.
Mm. I've never heard that concept, and that's ideal. Wow.
Yeah, it's called the Johari window, and it's spelled capital J-A-R-H-I, Johari window. And you can look it up on the internet or at the library, but it's the Johari window concept. And I believe it's a psychological kind of a concept, but they use it a lot in business because, you know, in the workplace, as you're trying to motivate people to work harder and be more productive, you also want to get down to the core of a person's, you know, personality and things like that. But, yeah, so that's why you can have someone come to you and tell you things about yourself, and you could scratch your head and go, but I just don't see it. It's not possible. And just like in the car, it's just like when you think about any of you that drive, picture yourself in the car, picture the various mirrors that you have. You have the rear view mirror that lets you see some things. You have your front view that lets you see some stuff, but without that side view mirror, you wouldn't be able to see. So it's kind of like taken from that concept. There's that part of the car, they call it the blind spot.
Right.
That you can't see. But the person who is coming at you, they can see you, but you can't see them, okay? But, yeah, I just wanted to mention that.
Oh, wow, that's excellent. And, again, using that analogy, now that's so profound because I hadn't looked at it in that vein. I oftentimes tease And I tell people, I'm so much on the fast track, I'm so much going forward that I don't even want a rearview mirror, because if I passed it by, obviously I didn't want it or need it at that time, so I'm going to rip that mirror out because I'm going forward. But now, thinking about that and what you're saying with that theory and that concept, that's right. Because as you stand as a 35-year-old woman or man who's about to get married, I know I did, I'm thinking about that little boy who was, you know, running up and down Chicago streets, that young man who, you know, fell and didn't know if he can get back up, that person who was told that he wouldn't succeed or that he wouldn't do anything valuable in life and enhance others as well as himself. These things are going around. These are those mirrors that we see, but nobody else does. And I was looking at a program the other day, and these two individuals went out for a date, and they were from the inner city of Baltimore. And he went out on a date, and the man was very agitated because this wasn't his walk-up, hole-in-the-wall neighborhood restaurant. They had a menu. They had this. They had that. He was very agitated. And his girlfriend said, you know what, why don't you just relax? See, when you got money, money can let you be whatever you want to be. So I take that, and not to say money, but your imagination. You can be whatever you want to be in your mind. And you can now have that exhibit out into the world, into the universe. So if you're that boy who mother had to work second and third shift and you were home by yourself, and when things went bump in the night, you turned on every light, that doesn't have to be that man who stands in front of the boardroom or in front of the pulpit on Sunday. You can be whatever you want to be, and you can put those past hurts and those past situations in the past. You have to have the faith and belief, and you have to have a burning desire. It was Bill Cosby that said, in order to succeed, your desire for success should be greater than the fear of failure. It was also Doretha Brand who said, to guarantee success, act as if it were impossible to fail.
Yeah.
So the old adage of, you know, failure is not an option. No. This is an impossibility.
Can't even happen.
I cannot fail. It can't happen.
Well, you know, no. There's another quote. I'm not sure who originated this one, but we used to use it with some women that were in a program where they really needed some life transformation. And we used to say all the time that no one rises to low expectations. And so, you know, most people could kind of get that. But sometimes those quotes, they sound real good and they make a little bit of sense, but it's not totally understood. But when you
right.
stop to think about it, you're only going to go as high as you can imagine and as high as your expectation. Like you said, if you have an expectation of a mansion with a swimming pool that is X amount of feet, and you see in your backyard you have a trail back there for your children to ride their horses, whatever you can imagine is what you are going to be able to achieve. But if you can only imagine a 3-bedroom apartment, then that's what you're going to rise to, because, again, you cannot go higher than your expectation when it's low. And so we were trying to teach people. But again, it's in the mind, and the concept is that you got to get your thinking has to be expanded. And that's not easy to do. It's not as easy as it's not a 1-2-3 kind of thing, because behaviors are entrenched in us based on all these years that we've been doing the same thing over and over and over again. So like you said with your weight loss thing, until you change your habits, absolutely nothing will change.
And I agree so much. And we'll do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, and that's just insane. You cannot do anything different or new. I look at these guys now, I think they call these the X generation, where these guys are soaring higher on their bikes, they're soaring higher on their motorcycles, they're getting bigger waves on their surfboards. These kids don't see limitations. And so the skateboarders and the surfers of the old days, who would only, you know, go so high because that's what their imagination. These guys are now doing 2 or 3 flips on motorcycles in the air before landing. Had that been, you know, tried back in the day when we had Evel Knievel, he jumped over many cars and he crashed into many walls. But now they're doing that and far beyond. Their income, their exposure, and everything is magnified because they believe. and they have the faith that they can accomplish whatever that speed is. Because if you don't, then we're stuck. And if you don't, you will be left behind. Because as I said last week, you know what? Change is inevitable. Change is the only one constant, but it's constantly changing. No moment, no time is the same. Even your body, each and every day, you're rubbing off a layer of skin when you wash up, because you're not only renewing your mind, you're renewing your body. And that's changing. And if you can go back and do snapshots of your life, you'll see your transformation physically. But we don't see our transformation mentally. And oftentimes we don't see it emotionally, because we attack or respond in the same manner in which we did when we were kids. I know some of my triggers now. I know some of those things that set me off or send me over the edge, and I try to better control them. Even as we're talking about my weight, I know when I'm under stress, there could be a slice of chocolate cake and it could be an apple sitting right there. I know better, so I should do better, but that cake seems to win out. And then I become guilty and say, I should have had that apple. So now I'm going to try to eat two to compensate for that cake. But I now know these triggers, so I can better alleviate them or work within them, because some things are out of our control. But I think, again, we lend too much to other people because we do not have that faith and that belief system inside of us that's so entrenched, if I may use your word, that we can tell people we're going to go for that job or that opportunity, and then we can find 5 and 10 things to discount what we just said was so great about what we want to do. And then we oftentimes do nothing. So I ask the listeners, you know, keep calling in. Give us your responses. You know what? Come on the line. Talk to us. Let us know what we're doing and what we can do to better enhance not only you, but our show, ourselves, and others around us. Or let us know what you're going through, and perhaps we can help you, because by you sharing, you're helping us. I know, Coach, you have your book. I have my book and my website. I want to, you know, see the day where I'm at the post office more than I'm at my office delivering these books autographed and hand-delivered, or, you know, shipped to these individuals, because I know what reading did for me. I know what an inspiring word as a young lady in high school did for me. I know when you asked me to be on your show what that did for me. And I want that same feeling, that same being elated to share with each and every one of these individuals on the calls, their family members and their friends and their organizations, because if there has been no other time in history, the time is now. Because of the depressed economy, most of our depressed situations, we're all just falling into a vacuum, and we're looking for pity parties everywhere we go, and there's enough news coverage about scandal, lies, theft to make your situation become valid. And then you can say, even when we come out of this, you'll still be talking about the situation that you're in when it's obvious that the grass is now green again, the seasons have changed. But because if we get so engrossed in this, oftentimes we will look for a grave to just fall in because we're no longer living.
Well,
so I do
this is,
go ahead.
Yeah, this is so true. And I know the show, you know, I absolutely hate to jump in here on you, but, you know, we have about 5 minutes left for the show, even with the hour-long format, it still seems to just not be enough, but there's just some awesome, awesome. Just want to welcome Arda Boga to the show. First time seeing that name also on the chat room. But I just want to make a couple of points that were made also in the chat room, because I know others cannot see that, and I know you can't see that. Mr. Versi, but, you know, Coach K, always there to support. Here's a man that's the busiest man on this side of heaven, and I'm telling you, for him to come to the show and not just be here, because, you know, some people can tune in and just go about their day and not even be listening, but he is actually listening and participating. And when you talked about Eva Knievel, he was saying that how, you know, at that time, what he was doing then was a big deal, and how, you know, have to realize that what we're starting is for the next generation to finish. That keeps us grounded and knowing that this thing is so much bigger than you. You know, I look at people like, you know, Hope Harper there with the dry cleaners. You're starting every day you go to work. You're getting a legacy for the next generation, whether it be your children or your grandchildren, who may take over and keep that business going. Also, for you, Mr. Versey, I know you had posted something about your daughter. Now, look at Les Brown and his two daughters, his daughter and his son. They are powerful. They are more dynamic. I've seen all three of them on the stage together. Now, I love Brown, but his children, I'm telling you, they are great. They're more powerful in their delivery and what have you than he is.
Right.
Now,
correct.
He's not jealous. He doesn't appear to be upset. I would imagine that he is proud to see that. And I know from listening to his story, he worked hard to pass that on to them. Because, you know, a lot of children do not always follow in their parents' footsteps.
Right.
Sometimes children just out of spite go a different way. So he had to work hard to get that in them. And that's what you've been talking about today, working hard, having the faith. And Coach K was also saying how he tells he says, I tell my kids all the time that the opportunities for you are greater. Just take that leap of faith. And also Patricia Martin in the chat room said today, if people are not empowered and motivated, they will not achieve anything. So thanks to all you coaches for what you are doing. And she had some other comments just saying a great job. And Coach K said, how many people can say they wake up excited to work in the morning? He does, and like you. And to you, Mr. Walker, you pour out so much. And so when you say that, oh, I can't wait for the day when, you see, I can go to the post office more than I'm doing whatever. And the thing is, you're right. You can't wait because guess what? That means that day is on its way because you are absolutely speaking it into existence. And I tell you, it is just, you know, you know how the Word of God tells us that to despise not small beginnings. And also want to welcome to the switchboard area code 973 and area code 248. I know there are others on the switchboard, 732 and 609 and 908. And I see that Hope Harbor from Cincinnati is on, getting her morning fix. Amen. Oh, I tell you. And Mr. Walker, please. And now tomorrow, I just got to let everybody know about the rest of the week because I'll be traveling to Tennessee on tomorrow morning. And so the show is going to have a later start. So we probably won't be able to do the show in the morning. I don't know what your schedules are like. Just bear with us because I'm traveling. So I won't be able to start the show until 9 a.m., but I'm going to be doing the show live from Tennessee. I'll be in the air around. I'll just be landing around 7:30. A.M. And then on Friday, we will do the show at the regular time because I'll actually be settled down there in Tennessee and I'll be able to do the show at the regular time. Tomorrow, it will be 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So I will definitely text you or you can find it on Facebook, the time for tomorrow, only because of the travel. But anyway, Mr. Walker, any closing remarks? We have about a minute left to the show, and thank you, thank you, thank you again for that powerful, powerful message on faith and working hard and, you know, just success, how to end up there. You want to end up there.
I agree. I agree. In my parting words, as usual, you know, just believe, you know, have the desire and the courage to go out there and step out on faith, and you'll always gain your wings. There'll be someone there or something there to help cushion your fall so the fall won't hurt you. I want our people to just go out and be fearless. As I always say, go back to that childlike mentality. My children, they don't care about if I didn't sell a book. They don't care about if I didn't have a speaking engagement. They want what they want, and their expectation is that I will provide it because that's what they're accustomed to. Go to your father, your spiritual father, whatever name you call him or her, and just ask, and all it will be given upon to you. But we just have to believe that. And if it doesn't happen tomorrow, don't pick up and get on the chat line and call your girlfriend and then start, it didn't happen. You know, what can you do for me? Because she can't do more for you than your father, than the spirit, than the universe. So go out and be fearless and continue to listen to the show. We thank you, and I really appreciate you emphatically for your comments, your positive statements, and your support. Because, again, I believe sincerely we moved from a half an hour to an hour. I can't wait to see us on primetime, you know, with some sponsors and having some phenomenal guests and maybe one day a studio audience. What do you say about that?
Oh, listen, you know that is on its way, on its way. I was just thinking about that. I was just thinking about we're going to be doing some public seminars. We're going to have Mr. Virgil Walker is going to be down here in New Jersey, so all of you New Jerseyans can come. We're also going to be doing some things up that way where he's at up there in New York, and we know Coach K is also in New York. We've also been offered to come to, you know, the West Coast, and we know Miss Glochest is out there, and so we have supporters there already, and we're going to be going to Ohio, Cincinnati. So we have great things that we are expecting because, remember, no one rises to low expectation. So you just, you spoke it, and it will happen. What you say, you shall have, Mr. Walker. Go out, get his book, go online, get his book, Success, How I Ended Up Here. It's a small investment for a huge return. You don't get those kind of return on investment. You don't get it from the bank. You don't get it anywhere else. But when you invest in your the knowledge, I don't care if you get the book and read one chapter. Listen, it may be the one chapter that God has that's going to explode your life. But get it, get it, get it. And sometimes people think, you know, reading can be so challenging for some people. And I understand that because I had that challenge all my life. But that never stopped me from purchasing books. So I just wanted to unlock that door in case anyone is locked behind that, because some people, they don't buy books because they don't really care, they don't really like reading, but but if you do something different, you'll have something different. So God bless each and every one of you, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. I look forward to doing the show live from Nashville, Tennessee. I'll be down there for the Women of Destiny with Miss Kiva Renee. Awesome.
Great. Well, safe travels.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.